Well, hello and a very welcome back to another weekend tipping edition of From the Horse's Mouth. My name is Patrick Nelly and I am joined by none other than Paddy Power and Frank Hickey. Frank Hickey, our trader, who's chasing down four winning naps in a row. But before I get the news from the guys, I just want to make a quick mention that tomorrow, or indeed when you're listening to this Saturday afternoon, of course, the big Paddy Power sponsored card at Sandown and the Paddy Power sponsored Imperial Cup is going to result in Paddy Power making someone a million air. Yes, finally, we're going to do this. We tried to do it at about three, possibly four, possibly five, possibly six other meetings to give someone £1 million, but we're going to do it on Saturday in the Imperial Cup. I'm really looking forward to that. But Paddy Power and Frankie, Paddy, how are you in what is probably the most important tipping weekend of the year? Because this weekend is Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it's funny. And funny to talk about the millionaire chase, which is a hurdle. And you're right, it is the fourth time we've tried to give it away. But I'd say, like, we've even got the all-weather cancelled when trying to give away £1 million. So I'd say, just if you live in the Sandown area, just beware of, like, meteor strikes or whatever, because we're saying this can't possibly go wrong and God's there going, here, hold me pint. But I think, this is one of those weekends. Like, Sandown's a really good card and everything like that. But the reality is we've all got one eye on next week. You know, mm-hmm. So you're right. There's a balancing act here about, like, you know, if it all goes well for you, you might get yourself a proper tank for Cheltenham, but also you don't want to deplete your reserves for next week as well. So let's bear that in mind this weekend, and we'll try and pick a few winners and try and bolster the old finances before next week.
Yeah, can you imagine the person that wins £1 million is some tank to go to war with next week?
Geez, but I hope they don't. I spoke to all of them on the phone and I said, the first thing is don't feckin' give us back a penny of this. Do you know what I mean? That's really important, I guess, for people to remember that, you know, if you 100%. Do a windfall like that, like, Jesus, it's not easy. If it was easy, there'd be no such thing as bookies.
Oh, here, £1 million, the dream, the absolute dream. But anyway,
it's amazing.
Frank, you're getting us on the way to £1 million. You've had three. I'm jumping the gun. You've had three winning naps in the last three weekends. Nice prices too, because I think my way 2 weeks ago was around about the 7-2, 4-1 mark, was he?
Did he return 9-2?
Maybe. Well, sorry, 9-2. I'm selling you short. And then last week, the shunter was 5-2. So not only are these naps going in, they're big prices too. So a bit of pressure on you. Well, maybe the pressure's off, actually. But we're looking for four winning naps in a row. You're feeling good? You're feeling festive for the weekend that's in it?
Oh, looking forward to it. Like, it's just a shame that with that millionaires race tomorrow that there aren't any crowds. Could you imagine the excitement of the, is it 10 of them? How many of them are there?
11
of them there. You know, together watching it and the excitement. Imagine if you'd four and jumping the last together. It'd just be incredible.
But, and then pretending you're delighted for the fella that
way. Oh, would you? Not a chance. I'd be like that fella in that, Come Dine With Me show. I think there's a famous there's a famous clip of a guy who basically has to read out that he's come last and he just tells them all to get out of the house. you know, it's usually like, well done, your dinner was the best. But he's like, nah, get out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just.
One thing I'd say is, I just hope there's no, like, hard luck story with, you know, a horse clear falling at the last or anything like that. I just hope someone wins, like, you know, with no controversy.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Well, someone will become a millionaire tomorrow, and that's the main thing. And fair play to that person, and I hope they really enjoy it. They can have a few bets at Cheltenham, but please don't blow the £1 million. Always gamble responsibly. That is certainly the advice from us here at Paddy Power. Let's talk about the ITV races, folks. Let's start at Sandown, where we are going to make someone a millionaire. The 150, guys, is the first race that's going to be live on ITV4. It is the Paddy Power Novice Handicap for Hurdle Final. Now, looking at the market in this race, Frank, I'm going to start with you. This is a big field, probably 18 runners. It's going to be, if you find the winner in this, you're going to be getting off to an absolute flyer.
Yeah, it's a race I always like. It can be a good pointer to the future. It's a nice horse have won it. I think, if I remember off, to many clouds, I don't know if he won it. He definitely placed in it anyway. I remember Barney Dwan winning it. It's a good pointer to the future anyway. I'm looking at one at a very, very big price here.
Lovely.
For Gary Moore. I love now Gary Moore horse around Sandown. He won this race back in 2014 with a horse called Brave Vic. Now, Brave Vic hadn't won his four hurdles runs prior to coming in here in a handicap. And he won nicely off a mark of 123. And Dark and Lad is something similar. He hasn't won yet over hurdles in four starts, as well. And the only thing is, he was running at Plumpton last month when the race was voided because of a horse falling in front of the hurdle and staying down. At the time, he was in front and going really well. So potentially you could say he would have won his maiden hurdle and maybe gone up a few pounds for that. But when you look at his form, he actually ties in with some very nice horses. He was fourth in a bumper on debut last March at Huntingdon behind a horse called Favoir. That horse won a grade two hurdle this year. He was then third on his hurdles debut here in November behind Ajmel, who went on to win the grade two Leamington hurdle. Again, he was only beaten 9 lengths. He was in these runs as well. He was keen in all of them and his jumping hasn't been great. I have to say that. He does need to jump better, but he did look to be jumping better at Plumpton. He was second to Gordrow Joe with a handicap of Martin Hunt in 17. The track there just looked too sharp for him. And again, he was his jumping left a bit to be desired. And at Plumpton, he was beaten 6 lengths by Annual Invictus, but he made an awful mistake at the last. He would have been a lot closer. So you just kind of get the feeling that he's far better than 117 when everything comes together. And you look at the prices, he's a huge price. And with the extra places, we're 5 places here as well. And it's the money back special race too. So with all those thrown in, Dorking Lad, I think he's got a good each way chance.
He does. Dorking Lad, number 18 on the card in the 150 at Sandown. Paddy, your thoughts?
Yeah, for the first time this season, I'm going to tip up a Colin Tizard horse.
Oh.
And the reason why striking a pose is a horse is a decent price, 10 to 1, not about half the price of Frank's Dorking Lad, but still a big price and has won very easy the last twice. And that's with the stable that's seemingly having a very quiet season, so not firing really. And I think that's even more impressive that it's winning despite stable form. So I think that's significant for me. And I just thought in an open race, 10 to 1, why not? At some stage, he's got to come back to form.
Two double-figure prices as we speak here on the pod. Dorking Lad for Frank and Striking a Pose for Paddy in the 150 extra place and money back special available on that particular race. We move on to the Millionaire Hurdle. The Paddy Power Imperial Cup, remember, will make someone a millionaire. Will also give the opportunity to the winner of this race to bag 50 grand if they go on and win at the Cheltenham Festival. We could have two bonus hunters at the Cheltenham Festival with already the shunter who possibly chasing 100 grand bonus. Right, let's go back to you, Frank, for the Paddy Power Imperial Cup. Have we got an extra place and who's your fancy?
We've 2 extra places. We're paying 5 places. Whoa. Here as well. So we're being very generous. And because we're paying 5, I'm actually going to throw 2 darts at the race because they're both big prices as well. The first is Matt the Man for Evan Williams. If you go back to last season, he beat Lightly Squeezed up in Warwick off a mark of 115. Lightly Squeezed was running off a mark of 109. He's rated 137 now, so he's £28 higher. He followed that up by winning a really competitive handicap here at Sandown last December, beating Protectorat and Song for Someone. Now, when you look at Protectorat's rated £22 higher, Song for Someone's rated £11 higher, Mac the Man's only rated £6 higher. He didn't really take to chasing at all this season. He won a weakish handicap hurdle at Wincanton 2 runs back off the mark of 127, but he was never really put in the race at Newbury. Maybe he just wasn't good enough or whatever. But if you're willing to forgive him, and he's only a pound higher than the Wincanton race, only £6 higher than his win here at Sandown last year. And he's a huge price. He's still only 7. So I definitely have a few bob at him. And the other one then is down the very bottom, Hassan Abad for Ian Williams. He won this a few years ago with London Prize. This horse is rated 92 on the flat. He's been kind of brought along slowly enough over hurdles, but he's shown ability. I thought he ran okay at Newbury last week only. That just kind of suggests to me it might have been a little bit of just a sighter for this. Like, he's only got a mark of 121 over hurdles. So like, if you're transferring flat ability to hurdles, he is well handicapped. And Ian Williams is absolutely flying as well. He's had 9 winners from his last 31 runners. So the two of them, they're both bigger than 6. I think they're 16 to 1 plus. I'll throw darts at the two of them each way.
Okay, couple there in Mac the Man, number 13, and Hassan Abad, number 15, for Frank. Paddy?
Yeah, unsurprisingly, in an open race, that's gone a complete direction with this one. I quite like Leon Cavallo for the Pipes, just to say was having a good season. You know, they've targeted the bonus from Imperial Cup onto Cheltenham a few times before in the past. But Leon Cavallo was 6th in the Cesar, which the last time we saw it that was in October. So it's a big break since then, but has kind of, it was one impressively at Haydock before that and looks relatively well handicapped. He's probably been targeted for this. I guess they all have, to be honest. It's a big race, but he's run well after a big break before. So I just thought Leon Cavallo is definitely a bit of value. Now, you, obviously, the favourite natural history, you easily could be strong on him. And Langertan as well for the Skelton, just brilliant at targeting. Frank said it before, they're brilliant at targeting handicap hurdles, particularly. But I quite like Leon Cavallo, so I'm going to stick with him.
Yeah, he's entered in the... Yes, I was going to say, he's entered in the county and the Martin Pipe, isn't he, Frank?
Yeah, and he is actually part-owned by one of my colleagues.
Dan,
yeah, he has a leg in Leon Cavallo, so we wouldn't begrudge him a win now.
And can you reveal that the plan is the Paddy Power Imperial and then Cheltenham?
I didn't ask him, to be honest.
But what? Do your job, Frank. Do your job. Find out the ins and outs of these things. Okay, so Leon Cavallo, co-owned by one of the Paddy Power employees who Frank doesn't talk to. But best of luck to Leon Cavallo, the tip from Paddy, and then again, Mac the Man and Hassanabad for Frank. Remember, we've 5 places. It's only 15-runner race if they all go, and 5 places each way. It's serious each-way value. Now, lads, we've got a mare's bumper due off at 3 o'clock, a massive field again here. We've 18 horses declared for this mare's bumper. Rainy Day Woman for Paul Nichols and Megan Nichols, Miss Lambert, Jed O'Keefe and Jack Garrity. They're the top two in the market, Frank. Is that where you're going?
No. I think this weekend might be a Super Yankee. I'm not surprised. Ooh. An Easter Super Yankee. The prices I'm going for. I'm going to go one for the huge price. And we're going to pay 4 places here as well. So I'm going to have a few Bobby Tway on a horse called You Can Have Her for Anthony Honeyball. He won the race last year with a horse called a Cockalay. And she was actually behind Cockalay in her run before Cockalay won this race last year, but she was trained by Adam West at the time. I think she was an 81 shot. Switched to Anthony Honeyball for this season, absolutely bolted up at Fontwell on her first start for him, and went to Cheltenham for a listed bumper and was really well backed as well. I think she went off 6-4. Pulled really hard that day and didn't get home as a result. She's been given time off and given a wind up. And Rex Dingle, like, he has, I think he's 3 in the race, and Rex Dingle normally would kind of potentially be on some of the first string for them. So I was just looking at going, she's got loads of ability, and if the wind up does the trick and she settles a bit better, she's not a 16-1 shot. That's what I was looking at.
It's not a very nice name, is it? You Can Have Her. That's not very nice. Yeah, he does have 3 in the race. He's got Swink and Fleet as well, and Precious. Harry Cobden rides Precious and Sean Bowen on board Swink and Fleet. But You Can Have Her is the one for Frank. Paddy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I've gone for an inexperienced one here, and 4-year-old, so getting a little bit of weight, is for the Henderson stable, Tweed Skirt, down the bottom, number 18. Reason why is because I think the stable is just starting to hum now before next week. It's running at around 20%, which is pretty nice. And this last time, this one won pretty well in January, when things weren't as good for the Henderson team at that stage. But carrying a little bit less weight, is lacking in experience, which is a bit of a worry. But I just think that, I don't know, why not Henderson to start the week oval, the weekend before, with a flyer, 13-2.
Yeah, she's right at the bottom. She gets a bit of weight with the other 4-year-olds. So Tweed Skirt for Paddy, and one of 3 runners for Anthony Honeyball for Frank. You Can Have Her. Decent prices, both of them. Now we move to the 3:35, the Paddy's Rewards Club Novices Handicap Chase. It's the listed race, the last of the ITV4 races on Sandown. Again, this is going to be probably 4-1 in the field. Frank, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to take a chance and up the straight for Richard Rowe. This horse ran really well in the Cheltenham Handicap Hurdle in October off a mark of 135, went third, beaten less than 3 lengths, was second to Chantry House and Chase debut last cut, unseated at Plumpton, went favourite in January, and was second to Umbregado at Fontwell. Umbregado obviously went to Newbury recently and won a competitive handicap there off a mark of 144. Up the straights, last one was in a grade one, the City Isles here at Sandown, was outclassed in that. But I think this is more as great. I think he's running off the same mark as he ran off in place at Cheltenham in that handicap hurdle. And I think a bit of drying ground won't impact him either. I think it might actually suit him. And again, he's 10-1 with ourselves. So that's 4 double figure prices.
I was literally about to call out your selection. So up the straight in the 3:35, 10-1. Going back to that bumper you've put up, You Can Have Her at 16-1 in the 3 o'clock. In the Paddy Power Imperial Cup, 20-1 Mac the Man and 12-1 Hassanabad, and Dorking Lad 20-1. That'd be a heck of a Yankee there. Can we at least go each way Yankee there?
Yeah, it'd be amazing each way Yankee. Yeah,
life changer, retirement job, that one. Paddy, what do you fancy in the 4:10? Or sorry, the 3:35.
I've gone with the theory that Frank mentioned at the start, that Gary Moore wins every race he runs in at Sandown, which isn't strictly true, but he does have an unbelievably good record. I think he does. I haven't looked at the stats, but just every time I look at the Sandown results, Gary Moore's had a couple of winners. And high up in the air is on a 1-2-0, a 6-timer. So there's nothing like me backing a horse to stop a massive run of wins. But I think high in the air until he gets beat is just keeps on winning and probably going to be front or there, thereabouts, and will be probably difficult to peg back. So high up in the air for me in the moors.
High up in the air to continue that winning thread. Right, that is Sandown covered. You can tell that the evenings are, well, the days are getting longer because ITV are showing us a bit of flat action. And Wolverhampton is where we're going to go to on Saturday afternoon. We've got a listed race to kick off with first, the 2:05. It is the Wulfruna Stakes, the Bombardier Lady Wulfruna Stakes, I should say. Frank, we'll start with you. This doesn't look easy. Sometimes you can get these listed contests at this time of year and there's a pretty hot favourite. Not so this year.
No, it's wide open. Yeah, basically give a chance to nearly everything, bar maybe the two outsiders. The one I'm going to take a chance on is Mum's Tipple for Richard Hannon. Of course, when you go back to the two-year-old days and absolutely bulged up at York, everyone thought this is an absolute superstar. I think the owners turned down huge money. I think they were right. At the time, you're thinking he broke the clock that day at York. You think this is going to be a superstar. And yeah, look, how often do you get a chance to potentially have a superstar? So I can see why they did it, and I wouldn't have any regrets either. But anyway, into why I like him. Look, outclassed last year, but he did run in the Guineas, the Commonwealth Cup, a Group 3, and his last run was in a listed race. His reappearance here, or his reappearance at Linkfield, I thought was full of promise. That was a listed race over 6 furlongs. He never really got a clear run and finished on the bridle innings when he beat him a little over, what, a length and a half? I think with a clear run, he'd gone very close. I think he'll stay 7 furlongs around Wolverhampton, no problem. Ryan Moore is up. And if he gets a clear run, I think he's a small bit of value at around 92.
He's bang on 92 as we speak. Mum's Tipple for Frank. Paddy Power?
Yeah, I'm going for Lord of the Lodge, just ahead of Mum's Tipple in the card. Number 5 for Carl Burke and Clifford Lee. Third 2 runs ago, just touched off in second last time. So, you know, what comes next? Big one beside his name, just touched off last time as well. Stable's going well at the moment. So, so Lord of the Lodge for me.
Lord of the Lodge for Paddy. On to, lads, never mind Cheltenham. The Lincoln is around the corner because we're going to talk about the Lincoln trial at Wolverhampton. It is the 2:40, the Lincoln trial handicap. Yes, we're all getting excited for the flat season. Frank, this is also going to be, 4 or 5 to 1 the field. Man of the night, mission boy, there towards the top of the market. But as per usual, I'm assuming you're going to put up something at double figure odds.
I actually am. I'm going to take a chance. Now, this might just be being lined up for the Lincoln itself. And, you know, it's on the market and it might sneak in. I think, I can't remember what got in last year, 97 or 98. So this horse is rated 97. It's Milltown Star from Mick Shannon. Very useful as a juvenile, won at listed level in France over 7 furlongs. I thought he shaped okay in 2 runs this year, or last year, sorry, off a mark of 100. A little bit disappointing on his final start at Haylock off a mark of 99. He's dropped again now to 97 and just, I had him in my mind last year that there's a good handicap in him when everything falls his way. His only previous run, the all-weather, was a novice race and he bolted up. So maybe he's an all-weather horse, you never know. So take a chance. That sort of price, 10-1, it's worth a small bet each way.
Milltown Star for Frank. Paddy?
Okay, well, I said in the previous race, Lord of the Lodge was just touched off last time. And the horse he was just touched off by was Tad Leal, who runs here. And there's a decent price as well. So if I fancy Lord of the Lodge, I kind of have to fancy Tad Leal. And if that one goes in, then Tad Leal's form is franked. So, I'll go with Tad Leal.
Almost related double. That's the Lincoln trial. There's one more race from Wolverhampton. It is the Betway Handicap. It's due off at 3:15. It's only 8 runners, but incredibly, it could still be 7-2, 3-1, 4-1 the field. And we're looking at Juan Le Pan, Brian the Snail, what a name, Streamline, and Summer Gant. Any of that quartet could really go off favourite. Frank, who is the money on?
I'm going to take a chance on Streamline here for Clive Cox. A Group 3 winner as a juvenile on the all-weather at Kempton when he won the Serenia Stakes. Pronunciation's not very good.
I think you got it there. I think you're right.
That wasn't great. Missed all of 2020. Came back then January at Kempton. Very disappointing conditions race. Now he was only beaten 2 lengths, but he was 6-6. Then he was last of 5, beaten 2 lengths again at Linkfield. But I thought there was a bit more account in the last time. Again, he didn't get the clearest of runs at all and he was running on at the end. I think with a clear run, he probably wouldn't have beaten Masonic, but I think he would have gone close and he's been dropped a pound. And you just kind of feel like he's building up to maybe the sort of form he showed as a juvenile. And what's interesting as well is Ryan Moore rides. He's 7 from 24 in the last 5 years for Clive Cox, which is 29% strike rate. So, and then you throw in that Clive Cox's last 8 runners to 3 winners, a second and 2/3. So he's in form. So streamline free.
I think you've given us, so we've got 7 selections, and that is your shortest price selection, and he is 4-1. Frank, it could be a hell of a weekend. Paddy?
Okay, so I've gone for Summer Gahand, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like I've backed this horse in Ascot and York and Newmarket and all the big fancy, like, kind of posh meetings during the season, and Goodwood and everywhere. And there's a worry in that maybe loves a bigger field. And like you said, it's only 8 runners, but still a competitive race. But I think Summer Gahand might just be a little bit better than some of these. Only beaten a neck the last time. And that was at Wolverhampton. So handle is a track, which is good. And I think it might just be a bit classier than some of the rest of them. So I think Summer Gahand for me.
Summer Gahand for Paddy. That is the ITB 4 races covered. Before we move on to Sunday, folks, are there any selections on the Oasis, as they call them, the non-ITV races? There's a decent card at Navan. Frank, I'll turn to you first.
I have a few I mentioned at Navan. The 320, just shy of 3 miles, novice hurdle. Velvet Elvis, he's 2 from 3 over hurdles. Only defeat was when second to the Albert Barton fancy Toreograph, and that was in his hurdles debut. He won a Cork over 3 miles in January, followed up in a race, and novice hurdle Turles dropped to 2.5 miles, 3 made all. Just looking at it here, the step up to back up to 3 miles is definitely going to suit. I thought there was a chance he'd be able to dictate here as well. So Velvet Elvis in the 320. In the 355, Daily Tigers rated 157. He's getting £5 off Castle Grace Paddy, who's only rated 152, but soft ground at Navan seems to really suit Castle Grace Paddy. And despite being wrong, say, on these terms, I'm going to side with him to turn over Daily Tiger. He won this last year beating Ornua. In November, he beat Aplutard here as well. Said soft ground here really suits him, and Navan suits him. So he might be like a small bit of value against Daily Tiger. And then in the 430, I'll be taking one that's very likely to be the rag of the field, and that's the Dabbler. He's rated 111, yet to win in 13 starts. He caught the eye in his handicap debut over fence last time at Nace, with 7 lengths behind Storm Judge over 2.5 miles. Tide was staying on really nice that day. Step up to 3 miles is sure to suit. And the kicker is Jordan Gainford is a brilliant jockey. Watch out for whatever he's riding at Cheltenham next week.
Yeah, if you miss myself, Frank and Ruby on the Road to Cheltenham, the Cheltenham Countdown, Jordan Gainford was not only Frank's pick for the Martin Pipe, whoever he gets on, but also Ruby Walsh, very keen on that young jockey. The Dabbler, one of 3 ones to watch out for, the other being Castle Grace Paddy in the 355 and Velvet Elvis in the 320. The Dabbler runs in the 430 and will be a big price. Paddy, is there anything for you outside of ITV, or we move on to Sunday?
Yeah, I had Castle Grace Paddy as well. And also in the 245, I'd picked out Weight Here. Just that 2 miles in soft ground is an ideal race for him. But maybe that Weight Here is a JP horse. But yeah, Castle Grace Paddy as well.
Thank you very much. That is Saturday covered. We shall move on to a Super Sunday.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18plus, begambleaware.org.
Right, Sunday's cards. We've got 2 good ones in Ireland, Limerick and Naas. Lads, is there anything, as we speak, the declarations are just filtering through, but you may well have had a look at these races in advance. Frank, I'll go to you first. There's a very good Mayor's Novice Hurdle at 2:15 at Limerick. Anything jump out there?
I'm going to side with Say It's Gold from Mick Winters, the legend from Dunwich Hantark. Yeah, he's just the most entertaining man in racing. I think he's just brilliant.
I'd say so.
He's class. But I don't think this looks a very strong race. And Say It's Gold has to concede a £6 penalty. But I thought she looked really progressive. She won by wide margins in a Fairy House bumper, a Turles maiden hurdle over just shy of 3 miles, and a Cork Grade 3 over 3 miles. She might have found the drop to 2 miles too sharp, and the race might have come too soon for her as well at Turles. Those 3 wins all came in the space of about a month. And then 2 weeks later, she went to Turles and she disappointed. So she's been given a break since. And yeah, I just think she's a very useful mare. I think she'd probably be difficult to beat.
Paddy, any thoughts on that race?
Yeah, funny in that race as well. I got a different one, obviously. Global Equity for me is one that just keeps finishing second, but you know, the seconds actually look okay. You know, like second to Atlantic Ferry last time, which wasn't too bad. A couple of runs ago, it was second beaten by Rosie's Hollow in a really good race at Ferry House. So there's, you know, some depth to the form of Global Equity, and the twos beside the name probably don't do her justice. I think she could be a bit better than that. So I think Global Equity maybe in a slightly weaker race than she could run it in.
Okay, so a couple for you there in the 215 at Limerick. There's a very good card at Naas as well on Sunday, guys. A couple of graded races and the Leinster Nationals. Anything stand out for you, Frank, in that card at Naas?
Yeah, I've had a good look at the card, and three of the horses I picked aren't running, which is an absolute kick in the teeth for doing homework up until the half 10 last night. But there is one that's very interesting on its first start for Garrod O'Loughlin, a trainer. I won't say underrated, but he's very, very good, and maybe not everyone's aware of him. Even if you're looking at his last three runners, he's only had three runners in the last 2 weeks, two winners, and the other one fell when travelling all right. And even the prices they went off, 11 to 10, 130 favourite and 72 favourite. They're well found in the market. He knows what he's doing. And he's got this horse, Ben Dundee, rated 146 over fences in Ireland. His last start was in last year's Cheltenham Festival a year ago when he was fifth in what's now the Paddy Power Plate off a mark of 147. He had last season as well, he finished second at Navan in a decent handicap chase over 2.5 miles off a mark of 138. And he'd run okay, went seventh in a strong Leopardstown handicap hurdle over 2 miles off a mark of 130. He's running here off a mark of 127, nearly a full £19 lower than he is over fences. Said, we haven't seen him in a year, but you kind of guess with the yard and such form, he might be fully wound up. And if he is, he's very well handicapped.
Garrod O'Loughlin, you tipped up a Garrod O'Loughlin horse last week, I believe.
Machuca, yeah, well backed and did it just about.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. And Paddy, you also tipped that up.
Well, I did tip that up last week. Yeah, I like the sound of that one as well, Ben Dundee. I think I've scribbled that one down here. Frank's make a decent.
Good man. Very interesting. Used to be trained by Gordon Elliott, as you mentioned, up until Cheltenham last year. And then according to the Racing Post website, went to Willie Mullins and has since gone from Willie Mullins to Garrod O'Loughlin. So, yeah, very interesting. It didn't run for Willie Mullins, but it apparently did go to Clissutton. So it's a well-travelled animal, that's sure, Ben Dundee. And I'll ask you a trivia question about Garrod O'Loughlin. Where did he cut his ice in the racing world? Where did he learn? The greatest nursery in Ireland. Anyone want to hazard a guess?
He was assistant trainer to somebody.
The greatest nursery of racing talent in Ireland. It's in the middle of Ireland.
Jim Bulger's?
Correct. Very good, Paddy. Very good. Yes, Garrod O'Loughlin, formerly based down in Coolcullen. Right, that's a couple of selections for Sunday. Now, I have to go straight to you, Frank Hickey, for your nap of the weekend. We're looking for four winning naps in a row. You've napped up 9-2, 5-2 winners the last 2 weekends. Let's make it four in a row, please.
Oh, all my horses are big prices. You're like, which one is the most likely to win? I suppose, just the thing, I'll go for the lot and go Dorking Lad in the 150 Sandown, 20-1.
20-1 naps. You only get them here and from the horse's mouth. Never mind your even money naps. This is 20-1 nap for Frank Dorking Lad at Sandown on Saturday. Paddy, your nap of the weekend?
He's such a show-off, Frank, isn't he? Leon Cavallo for me in the Imperial Cup. So two big price naps this week.
Excellent. And Leon Cavallo, remember, he's entered at Cheltenham in a couple of races. He's going for that 50,000 bonus. Listen, lad, thanks a million for joining us again for the weekend tipping. You will, of course, be back on multiple occasions next week. We're going to have
we'll be getting a restraining order against you by the end of next week.
I'm sorry. I have engaged Paddy, Frank and Ruby Walsh every day of the Cheltenham Festival. Next week, there will be a special bonus from the Horse's Mouth Tipping podcast for every single day. Keep an eye out. Subscribe to us. You will get those dropping into your inboxes, so to speak, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for the relevant days. Lads, before we go, are you looking forward to Cheltenham?
Ah, sick of it at this stage. No, of course I am. I can't wait. Jeez, when you do all the planning and all the work in inverted commas, but all the study and all the kind of stuff, you do get kicks in the teeth and in the other parts of your body when, you know, some of the horses you've backed and fancy don't run and all that kind of thing. But the reality is, this is the week you look forward to most in the year. And it's obviously not the same because I'm not in the boozer or I'm not there and I won't be holding a pint in a plastic glass, a dirty pint of Guinness when I'm watching it. maybe. But
you can have a Cosmopolitan in the sitting room instead.
Yeah, and it'll be weird not having the crowd and cheering the winners in. But at the same time, it's bloody Cheltenham. And, you know, we talk about it from as soon as people jump ahead. Even like Galway, you're talking about, I wonder will that horse make it to Cheltenham. So, like, you're here now. So you may as well get on with it and enjoy it.
Frank, are you ready to wage war against the punters as well?
Yeah, look, it's I was talking to one of my friends about it. It's not quite as enjoyable when you're on this side of the fence. It's quite stressful, you know, looking at liabilities. It's a very busy week. It's not like, say, when I was working in accounting and you book the week off and you just sit back and chill out, like, you know. But at the same time, you are very excited and there is a massive buzz, even from the point of view of, you know, if you take a position, you know, against, you know, a favourite and it gets beaten, there's a right buzz. But in what used to be the race room, it'll now be on our Zoom call, you know. But like, yeah, look, it's exciting. I'm saying that just disappointing news breaking there that Eric Amin is out of Cheltenham. That's like a kick in the stones because that was the race of the week for me. Very disappointing. But look, that's Cheltenham for you.
On that lovely bright note. Let's finish up this weekend's Tipping Podcast. Thanks again to Paddy and Frank. As I said, please do subscribe to us. Remember, we have a podcast for you every day during Cheltenham next week. Best of luck this weekend. Do gamble responsibly. Remember, do check out paddypower.com, responsiblegaming.paddypower.com as well for all details on that. I've been Patrick Kennelly. We'll talk to you on Monday, folks.